Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday the 29th of June, the end of June, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Great to celebrate this feast on a Sunday, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in our conversation. And who do we have in this conversation?
Well, kia ora koutou. My name is Kushler O'Connor, and I am the Religious Education Advisor for the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch. It's great to be here.
Kia ora, Kushler. I'm Kathleen Petrie. I live in Auckland in Devonport. I work in a parish in Devonport, but my background is in education.
Well, two educationalists. Should I feel intimidated? Maybe I do. We'll see how we go.
Oh, come on, John, you're an educationalist too.
I think so, yeah. We all do it in different ways. In fact, we are all educationalists in our own way. I was having a conversation this morning with someone who was talking about a grandparent who was a teacher, but they weren't teaching in a school or they had no formal teaching qualifications. And the reason that they were a teacher, they knew, was because their grandchild was learning from them. And I'm reminded also, and many listeners will remember Father Vince Hunt, who was the rector, the deputy rector at the seminary for the years I was there, a wonderful priest from Ireland, most of his life in Auckland, Hamilton, and at the seminary. But he was asked once, and he often told the story, someone asked me, he said, if I were teaching in the seminary, and I replied to them, I don't know. And they said, what do you mean you don't know? And he said, well, you're only a teacher if someone's learning.
That's true.
Interesting that you say, John, we're all educationalists, we just do it differently, because how different are these two people today that we're talking about, you know, Peter and Paul? So different.
Yeah.
What are you thinking of? Okay, like when you talk about the difference, like, well, gosh, we're into it already and we haven't even prayed, but say your own prayer.
Jump the gun. Do you want to say that first?
When you think about Peter and Paul and the difference, what do you think?
Well, you think about their backgrounds.
Yeah.
Peter probably very little education. Paul very well educated and quite literate and Greek speaking, so very familiar with the Hellenic world. Argues like a Greek, you know, whereas Peter comes across as being a simpler person than Paul. But both of them so on fire because of knowing Jesus.
When you say argue like a Greek, are you thinking of something in particular, Kath?
I'm thinking about Paul's letters, you know, all of the what is it, justification by faith and life in Christ as opposed to life in Adam. You know, it's very dialectic, really.
Indeed, yeah.
But Peter, you just get the impression of a sort of a bluff kind of man who speaks from the heart and often speaks before he thinks.
Yeah. We love that about him, which
they
means
certainly
we're pleased,
they
but we're
certainly
pleased
didn't
we don't
see
have to
eye
live
to
with
eye.
him.
They didn't see eye to eye, did they, a lot of the times, although they had that same fervent desire to be telling people about Jesus. So they had that their missions were similar but different, with the same goal to let people know what Jesus was all about.
Yeah, I think you're right on there with their mission was the same. Yes, very different people, as you both have said, but very different people. And too often, I think we try to get a group of the same people together for a project, but actually, what we need is very different people who have the same depth of passion for the single goal, who is Christ.
That's right.
I heard someone say years ago that you know, the empire of the time was the Roman Empire. I mean, a few years earlier, the Greeks had been, or the Egyptians even earlier than that, had been the empires. But in the time that we're talking about, the time of Christ, the time of Christ walking on earth, because now is the time of Christ, but the time when Christ 2,000 years ago walked on the earth, the Romans were the leaders. They were the experts in oratory, politics, engineering, architecture. Like, you can keep going, the list is endless. And someone said once that into that empire, which was so strong, like military prowess and everything, wandered, they said, a failed tent maker and a failed fisherman from the outpost of the empire, bringing no military prowess, no oratory, no great engineering or architectural skill, simply Christ. Now, 2,000 years later, where is the Roman Empire? Well, it's in ruins. People say, wow, look at those aqueducts, which the Romans are, but look at those. But all of that is in ruins and remnant not being used. But where are the followers of Peter and Paul, the followers of Christ? Everywhere, in every little hidden corner of the world. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Really, when you look at those, the readings and the themes of the readings, for me anyway, the themes were that of unity and perseverance and not giving up, and both of them, their hearts were on fire, and that's what we're called to have our hearts on fire and to spread that good news as well, with the
Now, I
same
want to just
passion.
can I just pick up there, Kushla, because when we often talk about we need to have our hearts on fire, and I know this is often a theme of homilies, we need to try harder, we need to be evangelizing, we need to be missionary like Peter and Paul. The protagonist in each of those sentences is ourselves, me, I, us, we. But Peter and Paul didn't try hard to be missionaries. They didn't try hard to believe in Christ. What had happened is they'd had a personal experience of the one they discovered to be the Christ. And that spilled over into every aspect of their lives in a way that was irrepressible. They couldn't help themselves. So they weren't, it's important to note that Peter and Paul weren't trying to be missionaries. They were doing what they couldn't help doing, like the person that falls in love. You can't shut them up. Like they're full of it and they're different. They even smile at the people in the family they don't usually get on with, like something happens. And I think we need to get back to that. Too often we are trying hard to do what we think we should be doing rather than saying, God, give me this experience. Like, fire me in a way that's real and intimate, like you did Peter and Paul. Like to let the Lord be the protagonist.
You could argue, John, that they were a lot luckier than we are in terms of meeting God and being set on fire, in that Peter walked with Jesus for all of the years of his ministry, and Paul had that blinding revelation on the road to Damascus, which turned him into kind of a mystic. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting me. So that whole that whole kind of direct experience of Jesus is something that we do have to try hard to keep building in ourselves.
So you've shifted, you've made we the protagonist again there, Kath. What I would respond to you by saying is, yes, you are right. But it's not that they were lucky back then 2,000 years ago because they could see and hear Jesus. Most people who saw and hear Jesus, he had no effect on them at all. So if Jesus is risen and alive and present today in, where are we at this moment, Devonport and Christchurch and wherever we are, then we need to pray, Jesus, give me that experience that they had so that I can live with the same. I do think we need to keep returning to that. They weren't lucky 2,000 years ago. If I'd lived 2,000 years ago and been raised as I was as a, Christian, I would keep on doing that. I wouldn't follow a new preacher who was, had a few hippie followers. So maybe I would have stayed with, I wouldn't have been the Peter and Paul. I would have been the conservative. And I've got the advantage today.
I think that with our young people, when we're working with teachers in schools anyway, we say to them that it's the doing of what we believe that is the most important. That's when they might experience Jesus, but really have that moment. Probably not going to be in a church.
Good.
It's going to be if you talk the Jesus, God talk all the time to them, like in not just your religious education lessons, but if everything about the school comes back to God talk, you're talking God. This is we do this because God, God helps us or God's with us or whatever. If you talk the God talk, I think
Okay,
that's
just to
more.
drop a real, I don't intend it to be a negative spanner in the works or a problematic spanner, but should we do less God talk and more real human talk? Like I think the perhaps our difficulty is often the God thing doesn't really frighten us, but our humanity terrifies us. So maybe see, in a way, all that Christian living is a profound and real and free living of our humanity. And that's the attractive point of connection with the world of our time. Rather than try and live a God life, we need to keep pushing the barrow in terms of how can I be fully human? How can I live my humanity to the fullest? Do you understand what I'm?
I when I hear you saying those things, John, I think about a saying of Richard Leonard's that we pray to an unchanging God to change us, to change the world. And in reading the first reading about Acts. From Acts, rather, when Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. And how did that bring about his release? Well, we don't know. We don't know. Was it just that the chains melted away? Was it that somebody on the inside of the prison had heard, been part of the Christian experience, and realized that it was important that Peter be set free? But prayer, it comes back to what you were saying, Kushla. It's faith, rather, is about doing something rather than just talking about it.
Well, I think especially for a young the young people, I mean, all for all of us actually, getting out there and actually doing something. And for me, when you're doing something, outside the boundaries or something you don't particularly want to do, but you think, look, I will do this, I will give service here. You leave with this really warm feeling in your heart. And for me, I think, oh gosh, Jesus is right there. God is with me.
Can
And I want that for the kids that, are in our schools, that they, yeah, that they feel that.
I remember as a little kid starting school in Oamaru, taught by the Dominican sisters in Oamaru, that one of the things that was really big in our daily school prayer was our guardian angel.
Oh, look, I've got that written down here. The guardian angel prayer. Angel.
God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here.
Ever
Ever
this
this
day,
day, be at
let
my
my
side.
side.
To light
To
and guide.
light, to guard.
To rule and guide.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember that prayer?
And it went out of fashion completely, as we like we never, I don't think any teacher would talk about guardian angels in schools. But the thing I want to is with the guardian angel, we had a real sense of the personal and intimate and close interior relationship with the divine through a guardian angel. Now, ideally, that would lead us to a personal and adult, mature relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure we did that bridge very well, but imagine being a little child knowing that Jesus, through your guardian angel, was present with you constantly. Maybe
I mean,
Jesus' idea, Jesus is available for everyone, but maybe there's something about this angel that rescued the prisoners here in this first reading.
Yes. And if you had that sense of Jesus with you through the ministry of an angel or through meeting other people, taking part in liturgies and so on. I think you still need to, we still need to ask ourselves the question that Jesus is asking Peter in the gospel, who do you say that I am? Who is this Jesus? And if he's present with me, what is it that I believe about him that is going to change my life?
And Peter's response to that question was so decisive, wasn't it? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And for me, in response to that, who do you say that I am? And the decisiveness at that point of Peter is, our starting point when we are trying to answer that question.
It's interesting that they responded initially to that question saying, well, some people say. So they immediately went with the academic or community response. Who do people say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. So, but Jesus brings them to the personal thing. But who do you say? And I do think that many people in our world, perhaps many graduates of what we call good Catholic Christian catechesis, would be able to say, well, some say that Jesus was this, and some say Jesus was that. And 2,000 years ago, they thought, and the theologians say this. And but the real question is, what, who do I say? Who do I say? And if we struggle to answer that question, there's nothing we should try harder to do. I think that's the point that we need to say, Jesus, they say this, and others say this, and I've been taught this, but I need you to reveal to me personally, like you revealed to Peter and Paul, who you are. Show me who you are. And I often suggest to people, put a time frame on it. Jesus, today, tonight, show me. Let me wake up in the morning with a deeper sense of who you are for me. And why I can't live without you. And I think let's keep Jesus as the protagonist.
Coming back to that question all the time, who do you say that I am? For me, Jesus is my best friend. That very early on in a Catholic school, that's what the kids are taught nowadays. Jesus is your friend, and you can talk to him. You can talk to Jesus anytime. And if you want to build a relationship with Jesus, with God, chat to them. Have a chat. I remember you saying once, I don't know, struggling with prayer, and you said, look, all you need to do, Kushler, is get in the car, stop talking. It's a bit difficult, but anyway, stop talking, put the key in the ignition and say, here I am, God, and be quiet and just listen. And I do that every day. And you know what? Most days God's got something to say. If I listen.
I'm going to question or ask you to go a little bit deeper on the, is it enough to think of Jesus as my best friend? See, because over a period of a life, friends come and go. And yes, is Jesus my best friend? Well, yes, but he's also my God, which means that if I'm stuck in a prison, chained, as they were in this first reading, my best friends are not that useful. They don't have the power to break the chains that bind me. Here
True.
we have a God who, in Jesus, breaks the chains. So, yes, Jesus is my best friend, but he's one hell of a lot more than that, thanks be to God.
Yeah, but
So I
he
think that
it you get
that's.
that sense that God in that, and the chains fell from his wrist. Well, for me, that whole reading is all about, even in the most hopeless of situations, Kushla, God is with you. He's there. God is there. So I suppose he's more than a friend.
Well, and thinking about how you know your friend in a human sense, it's by what you see them do, how you see them be in any situation. You make decisions about whether you want to be friends with someone because you've seen them standing up for somebody else. Or, I always remember at my son Paul's 21st birthday party, a friend of his said, "I knew that I wanted to be Paul Dedi's friend when I saw him stand up for somebody who had been bullied because he was wearing Roman sandals." They used to call them Homo Romos. And, Paul said, "No, that stop that. You wouldn't like it if it happened to you." And this friend of his said, "That's when I knew I wanted to be Paul Dedi's friend." Yeah, and it moved me hugely to hear, because I didn't know anything about this son of mine. But when you think about what we see Jesus do and the way that Jesus is inspiring us to act, it's breaking the chains of a whole lot of stuff that's going on in our world. Because the world is in a mess, really, globally, locally, however you want to look at it. So breaking those chains, if Jesus is my friend, then I have to act like that.
I think one of the ways we get to break those chains is, and you both have spoken about this, is understanding that the church is not, we think of the bark of Peter, the ship of Peter, and the thought is we all have to get onto the ship, and we have a responsibility to bring others onto this ship, whether it be a battleship or an ocean liner or however we think of that. Now, that may have been necessary in the earlier years of last century in, for example, New Zealand, where Catholics were persecuted, like Catholics need not apply for a job, would often be in the situations vacant. But as we were saying, I think it was just before we pressed record on this, or was it the first words we spoke about, that instead of God being, or the church being the ship, the church is now the ocean, and that's a wonderful thing. And learning to swim is something that excites us as young, enthusiastic people. And if we think of the church as the ship, the bark of Peter, then we've got a very perhaps limited, restrictive, and even oppressive understanding of the church. But if we think of the church as being the ocean, then all of a sudden everything changes and we become curious about the beauty and the depth and the richness of life in the ocean.
The diversity within that ocean.
It's a very trendy word, Kushla, diversity.
Well, the church is made up of many parts, isn't it?
Amen. And there are many rooms in my father's house.
Yeah, that's right.
And again, coming back to these two men, they each had such different strengths, but the community of Christians, the Christian community, would not have survived without them, without both of them.
One of the things
And
that stood out for
the
me too
Christian.
was, and you mentioned it, Kathleen, was that line in the first reading, but by prayer, by the church, was fervently being made to God on his behalf, power of prayer and taking time out to pray, just to be still and pray, so important.
I'm thinking of a take home, and I'm trying to imagine what would have the church today been like, or Christianity being like, if Peter and Paul and the followers of Jesus had stayed around Jerusalem and Galilee. Like what we celebrate today in the feast of Peter and Paul is two of the intimate followers of Jesus who had diverse pasts, like one is a fisherman and an outspoken, putting his foot in it, denying knowing the Lord. And the other is the persecutor of Christians. Imagine if they had a parish council meeting the week before they headed off to Rome. Should we go or should we stay? I would expect that the group would have said, look, we're small. We need to stay. We need to get stronger here. We need to, no, don't go yet. Maybe in a few years. But what happened is they went. And if they hadn't gone at that precise time, it's impossible to imagine the development of those first centuries of Christianity, which for 300 years were persecution, like persecution to death. So we've got two, the word I would like to use of the two of them, and it's an attractive word in our world today, is adventurers. They were risk takers, they were adventurers. They weren't safe, stay in the pilot's cabin of the ship people. And I use the pilot's cabin of the ship because I just before we did press record, I told a Michael Fallon story. I'm actually going to attach it. I won't tell the story now, but if you want to read the attachment about the river barge, I think you might find it interesting too. So all of somewhere in there is my take home. What's your take home, Kath Kushler?
I think my take home from all of the readings is one of perseverance. You just got to keep at it, as far as growing your faith and building your faith and being faithful to God and getting out there and doing your best to spread the good news, no matter where that might be, is just keep persevering. Because, some days it's hard.
Run the race to the end.
Yeah, run the race to the end. And, I'd like, I might try and learn that off by heart, because I'd like to be able to say when I finish the race that I've run a pretty good one or tried my best.
I guess my take home would come back to that word life-giving that we've mentioned a couple of times, because in the gospel, Jesus says, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Hades, the realm of the dead. Jesus is taking us out of the realm of the dead. If Jesus is Lord, then death has no dominion. And Paul would have said that many times, what can come between us and the love of God.
Amen.
So it's about looking for ways of bringing new life into old institutions.
Do you think I should try and slip that angel of God, a guardian angel prayer, into the RE resources? Such a lovely prayer.
I think yes, with an explanation about, the personal and intimate connection with the divine, like, and we use every tool, whether it be the understanding of the guardian angel, like, because I often think a little child, who's suffering at school for some reason, imagine if that little child knows that God really is with them, that they're not alone. Imagine feeling that divine strength and the power of the bully against the power of the bullies, or the, because I think that's the resilience we have is not something we muster ourselves, but something that he's giving us, Jesus is giving us in every moment. Wow. So if you have your own thoughts as you listen to this conversation, please share them in the comments button below. And share your appreciation of the Homily Studio podcast with others. There are, as we've said before, a good number of people listening across the globe, but many people who suddenly find out about it and say, "How come we didn't know about this?" Even though we've been going for 4 years now. So let's pray in preparation for this great solemnity of Peter and Paul, which we celebrate this Sunday. O God, who on the solemnity of the apostles Peter and Paul give us the noble and holy joy of this day, grant, we pray, that your church may in all things follow the teaching of those through whom she received the beginnings of right religion. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it an interesting phrase, right religion? Gosh, if we could have had a good conversation about right religion.